Well, good evening. I say this everywhere I go preach, that it's an honor, it's a privilege to be asked to go to a congregation, maybe one that I don't typically attend, and be asked to fill in for somebody's shoes who's not going to be there that evening. This is my second time being here, so it's an even greater encouragement to me that I was invited to come back, as I guess opposed to being invited to never come back or to not return. So I very much appreciate that, and I'm very much encouraged by this church and by the love that you have for those of us who are doing our best and trying to maybe practice some of our preaching. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jeff Dodgen. Recently married, coming up on 6 months. I live out in Edmond, but I preach and teach a Bible class every Sunday morning out in Binger, Oklahoma. So if you're doing the drive in your head, that's about an hour, 10 minutes or so. That being said, at Binger, it is a smaller crowd than I'm used to, and they do ask that I sit when I preach. So if you see my knees buckle and I, you know, maybe I'm just taking a rest or not used to standing, we can all just come sit on the front pews, I suppose. Our lesson this evening is going to come from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 23. We're going to read verse 23 and keep that in our minds, because we'll touch back on verse 23 often. Luke chapter 9, we'll read verse 23 and then we'll shoot down to verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And now if we'll stay in Luke chapter 9 and go down to verse 57, and we'll read verse 57 to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." We all know, or most of us know, that when Jesus was here doing his earthly ministry, he trained disciples. And before he left, he commissioned those disciples to go and train more. We're going to talk a little bit about being a disciple. I wanted to talk about following Jesus. We're aware that when Jesus went to go look for these disciples, he wasn't looking to assemble the best of the best. He wasn't out there trying to assemble the Avengers, if you will. He was getting ordinary men. He gave these would-be disciples one requirement: follow me. I want to briefly touch on this. We'll come back to this towards the end, but in Luke chapter 5, we have two occasions where Jesus extends the invitation. He calls people to follow him. In Luke chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus is talking to Peter, James, and John, and they are out on a boat. Jesus invites them to come and follow him, and he says, "I will make you fishers of men." Later on in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, we see Jesus go up to Levi the tax collector, and he simply says, "Follow me." We'll touch back on that here in a minute, but we find from those two little instances, and as we read throughout much of Luke, that Jesus wants all. He wants everyone to follow. The word "follow" is found 20 times in the book of Luke alone, and a significant number of those 20 times is Jesus using that word to extend the invitation to come and follow me. We read and started with Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It's a verse that I think we hear often. It's a familiar one that we cite often. It's important to note here that Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people. He's speaking to crowds of people. And he states that if anyone would come after me, if anyone, anyone at all, would come after me, Again, we see that this invitation that Jesus extends or is extending is to all. It's to anyone, if anyone will follow me. Anyone who wants to is welcome to come to Jesus and follow him. I do appreciate, though, that Jesus does not want this crowd to be uninformed. He never does. And he tells them that if you plan on coming after me, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross and follow me. So Jesus extends that invitation, as we see in 9 verse 23, to all of those present in the crowd. And when Jesus extends that invitation, there's two responses that you can have. Two responses to that invitation from Jesus. And Luke records two different responses to Jesus' invitation to follow him. And the first response I want to look at this evening is what we find in chapter 9 when we picked up in verse 57. 57 through 58. They're going along the road. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The first response we see from the invitation to follow Jesus is, "I will, but." And this first one, I'll give it to him, this first man is very ambitious. And he says, "I will follow you wherever you go. I'll follow you." Really, he has no idea what he's just signed up for. The only response he gets from Jesus is, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I think it's somewhat implied to us here that since we don't hear much more about this man, that answer didn't sit well with him. He didn't care much for that answer. It sounds like this man needed a place to call home. "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. As long as you've booked the hotel rooms in advance, let me know where we're going to be at so I can let my family know so that they know where to find me." It would be better stated this way. In reality, his response is, "I will follow you, but I need a home. I need shelter. I need comfort." We'll talk about comfort here just a little bit. We have another person in verse 59. To another he said, "Follow me," but he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." This next man, Jesus turns to and says, "Follow me." His response is similar to the first man's response. "I'm willing to follow. I will go. But first, let me go bury my father." Now, we're all people here. I think we can understand if you lose your father, "Okay, I'll follow you, Jesus, but let me go bury my father." That's understandable. The response Jesus gives him, what does he say? "Let the dead bury their own dead." Looking at it from an outside perspective, a little harsh. "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me bury my father. Let the dead bury their own dead." Wow. It sounds harsh, but it's important to know that this guy's father was actually probably not dead. This response would be better read, or better said this way: "I will follow you, but we need to wait until my parents pass away. Let me wait until, you know, the parents are gone, and then I'm more than willing to follow you wherever you go." Sounds like it was an inconvenience to him. "You know, Jesus, I'll follow you, but now's not a good time. Just a kid, parents are still alive." I guess that's what that insinuates. "Oh, my parents are still alive. When they die, then yes, I'll do whatever." It's inconvenient. He needed some time before he was willing to follow Christ. And then we have our last one in verse 61. "I will, but I need to say goodbye." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. He's just as ambitious as the first, if you will. He says, okay, I imagine all of these men, they're all together. This one says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus says, you're sure? Because we're not going anywhere special, that's for sure. The second one says, well, okay, I mean, I'll follow you, but can we wait until my parents die? Gets a dark answer from Jesus there. And then so the third one must have heard all of this go down and says, okay, I will follow you. I don't care where we go. If we don't have a home, doesn't bother me. I don't mind about my parents being alive or not. I am ready to pick things up and go and follow after you. But let me say goodbye first. And again, I've got to sympathize at least a little bit. Okay. You know, I can only imagine my wife and her family are here. If we just got up, packed our things, a little of what we had, and said, hey, off to be with the Messiah, or at least with someone who calls himself the Messiah, we might as well stop by and say goodbye to her family. I get it. I think that's a fair request. But then you have to understand, again, there's always these two sides, right? Saying goodbye in that culture was not just stopping by, just popping in and saying, see ya. It involved parties, celebrations, and these parties and these celebrations could last up to weeks at a time. In reality, this man is really saying, Jesus, I'll follow you. Give me a few weeks to party it out. Let me have a goodbye party. Let me say goodbye to everyone. Let me do some of the things I want to do before I have to start following you and working all the time. Let me just have some fun first. Jesus tells us that no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit. They're not fit for the kingdom of God. He's saying, if you're going to follow me, you've got to follow me completely. This man said, I will follow you, so it must mean that Jesus must have been important to this man, but clearly not important enough. Not enough that he couldn't just leave without a few weeks of partying. The first response we looked at is, I will, but the second response to Jesus' invitation is found in chapter 5, those two groups we looked at, verse 10 and verse 27, and that is, I will. I will. We mentioned in verse 10, verse 11 of chapter 5, Peter, James, and John are out on their boat, and they are extended the invitation, come and follow me, and it says they brought their boat ashore, and they followed him. In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 4, it uses the word immediately. They're extended the invitation, come and follow me, and they immediately bring their boat ashore and follow him. When we look at Levi, the tax collector, in verse 27, he has extended the invitation, come and follow me, and it says he rose up and followed him. There's no, I will, but let me clean things up, let me say goodbye, can you tell me where we're going? Levi got up and he went. Jesus asked him to go, and he got up. It was time to go. He was ready to follow Jesus, no questions asked. What's the difference? What's the disconnect between the two groups of people? You see, the second group of men knew something. They must have known. Following Jesus is going to be worth it. This is going to be worth it. And because it's worth it, there's no time to sit around. And there is no time to waste. There was only time to get up and go. The second group of men understood our last point. And before you get excited, it's about three pages of a last point. They understood our last point. They knew the results that come from following Christ. And our first one this evening is handover. They knew that following Jesus meant giving up the things that they probably wanted most. When you look at Levi the tax collector in verse 27, when you look at Peter, James, and John in verse 11, you see the two words, depending on what version you're reading out of, but you see the two words, leave everything. You leave everything, and you come and follow me. They left their jobs. I mean, can you imagine Levi the tax collector? He is sitting at his desk. He just gets up and leaves. They leave their job, they leave their livelihood, their routines, their family, their friends, their hobbies. They set it all aside so that they can begin living a life following Christ. They handed over themselves to God. Funny thing, maybe not so funny, about the Knights of Templar. When they were baptized, they held their swords above water. God could have me, but he cannot have this part of me. He can have me, but he won't have my sword. Contrary to popular belief, and I'll say this a couple more times before the sermon's over, we do not get to set the rules. We don't get to make up the rules on following Jesus. We don't get to decide the terms of following Jesus. We just follow. Following Christ might mean that you have to leave that job. You might have to quit that hobby or stop playing that sport. You'll have to stop watching that TV show or listening to that song or spending time with those people. You might have to get a little uncomfortable. If you're not willing to leave everything, you're not ready to follow Christ. The second one is to humble yourself. We saw in verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, it says, deny yourself. Those wants and those desires that we all have, and some of them are different than others, those wants and those desires have no place. You need to replace your wants and your desires with the Master's wants and the Master's desires. Those who followed Christ often referred to themselves as bond servants. They were people who gave themselves to slavery in Christ. They made the decision to be a slave of righteousness, to give God every bit of their lives, all of their time, their thoughts. They live a statement that says, God, it's not about me, it's about you. We'll do what you want, and I'll do what you want me to do. My wants are gone. It's only what you want. To follow Christ means you'll have to humble yourself. The third one is haul your cross. Again, in verse 23, we need to deny ourselves and take up your cross daily. You're going to have to carry your cross. I don't hear it said very often anymore, and maybe it's because people might have done this study before I got here. But I've heard the phrase before, that's my cross to bear. Well, I bear that cross, and that's my issue. I get through it. I bear that cross. Normally, when we make that statement, that's my cross to bear, that's their cross to bear, it's usually something that's a minor inconvenience at best. Please make no mistake of it. The cross was not a minor inconvenience. It was not a minor inconvenience to Jesus. It was humiliating. It meant suffering. It brought death. That's the cross they're talking about. That cross. It's a daily decision to take that cross. You have to choose every day, am I willing to be humiliated, to suffer? Would I die to follow Christ? And following Jesus results in us making the choice every day to haul our cross. The next one is the word homeless. Again, we saw in verse 58 that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. it may not always be comfortable to follow Christ. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be put into some situations that you might find pretty uncomfortable. It can put you in some pretty wonderful situations as well. Following Christ is what brought my family out of some difficult family times. Anytime something happens, I don't have one specifically in mind, but it gets us through everything. Following Christ is what brought me to the wife that I now have. It brings me to Binger Church of Christ every Sunday morning to go preach. Following Christ is what is putting me here, speaking to all of you this evening, and it's what has put you in these seats this evening. It's brought me to different people where I've had interactions, some bad, most of them good. Following Christ will put you in people's homes. It will have you visiting people in hospitals. It will put you in evangelistic situations. It will put you in places you've never imagined you would go on purpose. It may not always be comfortable, but that's another common misconception. I don't find a whole lot of comfort here. It's not where my comfort is. He doesn't promise us comfort here. He promises us comfort at home, comfort in heaven. The next one is herald. Dead bury their own dead. Let the dead bury their own dead. We find that in verse 60. The man in chapter 9 wanted to wait around until his father died before he would follow Jesus. Jesus wanted him to follow now. He doesn't want people waiting around, "I'll follow you when it's more convenient." He wants people working for him now. Jesus wants us to get our priorities right now. Don't wait around. Don't wait to start talking. I'm always amazed at the conversion of Saul when he is baptized. Just the next verse, what is he doing? He's talking. We shouldn't wait to talk. Even when it's unpopular, when it's uncomfortable, you'd rather be doing something else. I'm not good at it. Maybe you're not as good at speaking about whether in front of people or just with one or two of your closest friends. I'm no good at it. Regardless of those things, if you're following Jesus, then Jesus needs to be preached by your mouth and by your actions. Always. Yes, I was asked to come and speak this evening, but all of us are expected to become speakers for him. The next one is hardworking. No one puts their hand to the plow and looks back. We find that in verse 62. If you choose to follow, there's no turning back. Jesus does not want half-hearted people. If you're going to follow, he says, follow me completely. He doesn't want you to follow only to quit and turn away when things get too difficult or things aren't going as you expected. Following Jesus means you've got to work for him, and you're going to work hard. The last one this evening is heavenly treasures. For the sake of time, we won't read it, but in chapter 18, verse 22, the rich man. Chapter 18, verse 22, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. I fear that I might have been a little bit too much in the dark here about death and suffering. There's plenty of good in following Jesus. To the rich man, this felt like a huge sacrifice. The rich man had a lot of money. And Jesus is asking him to get rid of all of it. Jesus states, it's not so much that you're getting rid of these things, it's an exchange. Give up your treasures here, and you'll have treasure in heaven. When we follow Jesus, it results in us storing up treasures in heaven. The conclusion, I suppose, is obvious. Jesus still wants followers today. And as I mentioned earlier, and like I said, I will say again, because outside of these walls, people have their own ideas. But the requirements of discipleship have not changed from what we read in our Bibles. If you really want to be a Christian, you have to be willing to follow Christ, all of Christ, to study and to follow the sum of His Word and not just some of His Word. Following doesn't end at baptism. If anything, that's the beginning. That's the point where you decide to start following Jesus. We've read a little bit of what will happen, what the results will be if you are following Jesus. The benefits are incredible. There's treasure. There's home. There's comfort. There's rest. God is there. Let's not forget that we must be followers of Jesus here on earth if we plan on following Him into heaven. Some of you here today might have, some of you in here may not be Christians. You may not have obeyed the gospel. If you're one of those, I pray that you would thoughtfully reconsider, that you would take this study home with you, that you'll read Luke chapter 9, that you'll look at the requirements that it takes to follow Jesus. Maybe you made that decision long ago. It's been almost 10 years for me. Maybe you already are a follower of Jesus, but maybe you make compromises here and there. Maybe there's some things that you let slide. Maybe you follow Jesus when it's convenient. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus when it makes you look good, and you're not a follower of Jesus when it doesn't make you look good. We don't have to say necessarily when you were baptized, but maybe you're a follower of Christ, but you've got something held just above that water. I tell you what, Jesus, you can have me, but you, not this. You don't want to see this. You can have me, Jesus, but you can't have this. Maybe you've been doing that. Maybe you've got something held above the water. If we can help you at all in any of these capacities, if you have something else that's weighing on your heart, if you need prayers, if you need to study, I ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.